2 Corinthians chapter 10. It says here, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. There are many lofty things and speculations in our mind which are raised up against the knowledge of God. And I have to destroy them. I have to bring them captive to the obedience of Christ. Destroy a certain way of thinking. Not destroy our minds. Our minds must be brought captive to the obedience of Christ. As I said, in the Old Testament, they could not go through into the most holy place. That veil was there. We could say a good Old Testament life was a life in the soul and the body. Good Old Testament worship was a soul and body type of worship where the body and the soul played a major part. And that's impressive. We see a lot of it today in certain Christian circles where body and soul play a very important part. But God's looking for worshipers in the Spirit, as I said. In the same way, in the Old Testament, they couldn't go into the most holy place, and so this is all that they could do. They could serve God with their mind and their body. But now, in the New Testament, everything has to be controlled from the Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to control my mind. So it's not destroying my mind, but dethroning my mind. There's a lot of difference between destroying our intellect and dethroning our intellect. I believe that's a mistake that a lot of people have made who emphasize a life of faith. You know, there's a lot of emphasis today on faith. But it very often, the type of faith that is proclaimed there is telling you to switch off your mind. That's useless. Don't use your intellect. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says renew your mind, not destroy it. And you can't be transformed if you don't renew your mind. And when people want to control you, the first thing they'll tell you is to destroy your mind. Don't think. Just believe. And that sounds so spiritual. But it's not according to God's Word. Word of God does not say destroy your mind. It says dethrone it. Give it a place. It's something like, you know, husband and wife. Think of a home where the wife runs the show as the boss of the home. Now, that's not God's will. So what's the solution? The solution is not to shoot the wife and get rid of her. Because the wife is very useful. For many, many things. Otherwise God wouldn't have created Eve. The thing is to get her to recognize that she shouldn't be the head. That she can never fulfill her God-appointed function if she takes first place. She's got to be, she's got to recognize that she was created for man, like Eve was created for Adam, like it says in 1 Corinthians 11. Not Adam was not created for Eve, but Eve was created for Adam. This is prior to sin coming to the world. It was not the sort of change of mind that God had after sin came. Before sin came, God, in 1 Corinthians 11 says, God created woman for the man. It doesn't mean woman's inferior. Not at all. Any more than Christ is inferior to the Father. In fact, 1 Corinthians 11 speaks about the relationship between man and woman as similar to the relationship between the Father and the Son. Who's inferior there? Nobody's inferior. And I don't believe for one second that a woman's inferior to a man. But Jesus voluntarily took that position of submission to the Father. In fact, 1 Corinthians 15 says that for all eternity he's taken that position. He's going to be subservient to the Father forever. And that's not a disgraceful position. It's a very honorable position. And 1 Corinthians 11 says, women are asked to follow Jesus' example. What better example to follow than Christ, who voluntarily chose a position of submission to the Father because that was God's plan. So this is the position of the woman, and this is the position of the mind in subservience to the Spirit. It's not destroying, but dethroning. So, when I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm still going to use my mind. But it's not going to be supreme, like I said earlier. If your mind tells you something in your heart, your spirit tells you something else, listen to your heart. But the mind is very important. But in the mind, there are these thoughts and strongholds which want to have the upper place. And I believe we have in Christendom two extremes. Some who have made the mind everything, who don't give any value to the spirit. You know, for example, a lot of people who study the Bible. I believe this is a mistake in numerous Bible schools. The mind is emphasized to such an extent that you don't need the Holy Spirit at all. And when you study, here's one of these strongholds of the mind, you know, where you study the scriptures without a dependence on the Holy Spirit. And you know how it is? It's described in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 like this. It's like taking a handkerchief and putting it over your Bible and trying to read it. How much can you understand when you've got a handkerchief over your Bible? It says that in 15. To this day, whenever Moses is read, when they speak about Moses, remember that's the scriptures. We can read it like this. To this day, when they read the Bible, there's a handkerchief over it. They can't read. There's something they can't understand there. But when a man turns to the Lord, that handkerchief or that veil is taken away. That means you begin to see what's written there. And which Lord is he talking about now? Not Jesus Christ. Verse 17. This Lord is the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. This is one place in the New Testament where the Holy Spirit is being referred to as Lord. So verse 16 means, when you're reading the Bible, if you turn to the Holy Spirit, then it's as if this cloth is taken away and you begin to understand what's written there. So we can say that anyone who gives such a place of importance to his mind. Remember the analogy of the wife running the home, where the husband is probably unimportant, shoved away to a corner, is the picture of a person who does not give the place to the Holy Spirit in his study of the scriptures, in his understanding of God. It's what's happening, as I said, in a lot of Bible schools. They're studying the Bible with this cloth on top of it. And naturally, they'll get a wrong understanding. Well, you have 10,000 different interpretations. But when a man turns to the Holy Spirit, that veil is taken away. And that's why we've got to come to the scriptures and destroy these strongholds of the mind that wants to be supreme and say, come down, listen to the Spirit. And I believe this is one of the functions of the gift of speaking in tongues. And the reason why Paul said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you, Corinthians, was Paul was such an intellectual man that he needed to keep his mind in secondary place always, dethrone it all the time. And one way he did it was by praying with his spirit often. He said, I pray with my spirit and I pray with my mind. And he made sure that the spirit controlled the mind. I'm not talking about a public use of it. Paul hardly ever used it in public, but he obviously used it extensively in private. But it was this dethroning of the mind. Not destroying, but dethroning. Where the spirit rules supreme. And the purpose of this is, comes back to what we said earlier in 2 Corinthians 3, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And verse 18, this Spirit transforms me into the likeness of Christ from one degree of glory to another. So these strongholds in the mind need to be destroyed. The place of supremacy that the mind wants to have. That place, that desire must be destroyed, but the mind itself has to be used.